I'm so glad you're here this morning. This is, I like talking about the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things I think even as Christians, we sort of think, oh, I don't know exactly how to talk about this. But I think today you're going to find the words to the songs that we sang. You'll remember times in your life when you were moved to see something that you hadn't seen before. And that you seek after something you haven't sought after before. And it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit that happens. But let me just start out by saying, first of all, I want to start out by praying. And that's what I always need to do. Heavenly Father, bring the words of my mouth into the hearts and ears of the hearers. That they are true. That the words, your words, transform the hearts of those in this room and those listening to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've never really been good at first impressions. I think I'm sort of a bit awkward in those kinds of situations. I might be hard on myself, but that's what I perceive myself. And if I'm not absolutely focused, I also tend to forget people's names, maybe two sentences after they told me their names. Because of that, I often fall face first into the worst of awkward moments, times when someone says, "Hey, Steve," and in forgetting their name, I can only respond with, "Hey, man. Hey, buddy. Hey, you." The person who I should know is unknown to me. I may know a little bit about who they are, but I fail to know the most fundamental thing about who they are, and that's their name. And I feel guilty every time this happens, and I want you to know I am working on breaking that bad habit. Now, in a similar way, I think the Holy Spirit is often unknown to Christians. We may not have forgotten the Holy Spirit, certainly, the Holy Spirit's name, but we can be hard-pressed to say much more. Is the Holy Spirit a person or a force? Who is the Holy Spirit in relation to the Trinity? The first step in knowing the Holy Spirit is, like any human person, is to be introduced. So please allow me to introduce to you, maybe again or maybe for the first time, to the Holy Spirit. Last week we witnessed Jesus after his resurrection and just before he ascended into heaven, saying this to his disciples in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now that's our verse that we're going to be sitting on and resting on for the next 4 weeks, including today. And I want to share with you a Bible verse that literally changed my life. And the truth of this verse has had a profound impact on both my life and my ministry. Here's that verse. "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with you all." Why is that verse so powerful to me? Because it reveals to us that the Holy Spirit is a person. Not a thing, not a force, not an idea, and not a shadow of God, right? Is not a shadow of God. That's another term that's used sometimes. After all, how can you be in fellowship with an idea? How can you share a friendship with a shadow? Really think about the implications of such a truth, that the Holy Spirit is a person. I know you've likely heard that before, but just because a truth is often repeated does not mean that a truth is rightfully appreciated. The Holy Spirit is a person, which means that the Holy Spirit has a voice. Seen here, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." That's a voice. The Holy Spirit also has a will. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. The Holy Spirit has feelings. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Feelings, a voice, a will, someone we can fellowship with, we can be empowered by, the one that Jesus described as an advocate or a comforter. The Spirit is a who, and one of the expressions of God that makes up the Trinity, which raises another hard question: who is the Trinity? The Trinity is a mystery in many ways, which makes it hard to answer, but here's one way to think about it. And Michael and I we talked about this, but he's anticipating because he's a man of high intelligence. He knew that I was going to call him up here, and the reason, I've heard a lot of analogies of the Holy Spirit, and they all fall short. This is the closest one I've ever seen or heard of. You've heard the one with the water. You know, the water is ice, it can be steam, and it can be liquid. Well, that means that there's three material things. That doesn't do it. I can name all the bad ones, but I want to flush those out of your head. This is the best one I heard. And if we think of God as a musical chord, and each person of the Trinity is a note in the chord. So Michael, play each single note of a C chord. So each note is its own thing, right? Individual of the other notes. And you can hear it here when he plays the chord. The chord doesn't exist without all three notes playing together. Just as each note is necessary for the chord to sound complete, each person of the Trinity is necessary for the complete expression of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. That worked better than I thought it would, Michael. That was beautiful. That was just a C chord. Every musician in here knows a C chord, but how powerful is that, right? You won't forget that the next time you think of the Trinity, of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you to listen to the Beyond the Weekend podcast, because I'm going to talk about, I'm not completely convinced that the Holy Spirit is a male person. Yep, there you go. It's just not important for us to go into right now. Anybody see the Shack or read the Shack? Yeah. That, the expression of the Holy Spirit as a black woman just brings me joy. I just think why not, right? Okay, so now we found out the complete expression of God is Father, the Son, Father and the Son and the Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The short answer is a lot. No, that's not helpful though, is it? Sometimes the Holy Spirit is often romanticized as merely this sentimental, mystical, soothing agent of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus described the Holy Spirit as a comforter. So it should be looked at as a soothing agent of some sort. Paul said in his letter to the Romans that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The Spirit, however, I want you to understand and hear me say this. The Spirit of God is an awesome, perplexing, and powerful Spirit. And we should have seen this coming, because let's go back to it again. Remember what Jesus told us. You will receive what? Not fuzzies. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If there's one thing to know about the early followers of Jesus Christ, that even after his resurrection, they were scared. They were fearful. You can't blame them, really, can you? We talked about that last week. What Jesus told this group was monumental. He essentially said, guys, you have to wait for a while, okay? But after you wait, you are going to receive power. Guys, life transformation is right around the corner. Your life will never be the same when this power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because of this gift of the Holy Spirit, they were going to be empowered to do even greater things than Jesus did. Boy, is that mind blown, right? As we enter into chapter 2 of Acts, we were in chapter 1 last week, the chapter 2, we see that the Jewish people have gathered for the festival of the Pentecost. This was a harvest festival that was celebrated how many days after Passover? 50. It's right in the name. It was the beginning of the wheat harvest. I didn't tell you there was going to be a quiz, and that was the easiest quiz because he gave the answer immediately. So there you go. So Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. It was the beginning of the wheat harvest. Many people have come to Jerusalem to celebrate from everywhere. There are crowds everywhere. It's during this time that the disciples and the others are doing what? They're waiting. Because they're doing what Jesus told them to do. How did the Holy Spirit in this prayer meeting know the Holy Spirit? How did these people in this prayer meeting know that Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. This wasn't CGI. This is real. This is real. A sound fills the house. The first way that heaven reveals the Spirit was with an audible sound like a violent wind. Don't you think that would be sort of wild to hear the wind that you didn't feel? Just saying. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They had each heard the Holy Spirit, and now each of them saw the Holy Spirit fire. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They have heard, they have seen the Holy Spirit that led to the most supernatural of all three of those. They were filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is the come upon you part. I've always wondered what that felt like. It was something tangible that manifested in speaking different languages. But they spoke languages that they all could understand. It's just so hard to understand what that miracle was, how that happened. When the Holy Spirit filled them, these discouraged and scared followers of Jesus started a transformation into a bold and fearless force. People thought they were drunk, but Peter stood up and spoke to the crowd. And when Peter talked, everyone that spoke different languages understood exactly what Peter was saying. He quoted from the prophet Joel. He quoted from King David, and he told them this: repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise. Peter knew this. Why did he know that? Because he was living it out in the moment. This is a promise. He knew it. Acts 2:41 tells us that after he spoke, and Gregory blessed us with that earlier, about 3,000 people became believers and were baptized. Sometimes when I talk about church attendance, I always remind myself, well, Book of Acts made a big deal out of it too, but I like that we don't dwell on it. But apparently it was important enough, monumental enough, that 3,000 people heard those words. So that's a pretty good sermon, I would say. That we repented and were baptized. The festival for the wheat harvest became a celebration of a completely different kind of harvest, right? For Jesus' followers, Pentecost reminds us what the Spirit can do and is doing still today. We're still in the period between Jesus' ascension and when he will return. That's where we are now, right? We saw him go up, and he's going to come back again. That's the time period we're in right now. Jesus is saying to us, the Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Acts 2 shows us that the Spirit has come. It's go time. To Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit turned these disciples from an inward-looking group to powerful evangelists that asked themselves, how can we bring God's love to the world? They were bold. They were up front. They were urgent. They had no idea when Jesus would return, but they knew that what they were to do, to be his witnesses. We are in the same camp, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know when he's coming back, but we have the same job, to go. Let's go. The book of Acts goes on to describe the formation of the early church. The Holy Spirit moves the disciples of Jesus to go to places and people they didn't want to go to share a space or a meal and do life-building communities that would share the love of Jesus and multiply. How did this change happen in that room that day? We are witnesses to the power of the Holy Spirit in not just doing impressive things, and that's cool to talk about, but by giving those in the room an invitation. The same invitation is offered to you and I today. The Holy Spirit invites us into life transformation. It's hard to put into words. As followers of Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes upon us and fills us. We become a temple where the Spirit dwells. A lot of that is a wild mystery. The Spirit has a clear view of every person's heart and mind, and knows that he or she knows what changes are important to you, that are needed within you to help you become more like Jesus. That's the transformation we are invited into, Christ-like lives. Not only does the Spirit make us whole, but the Spirit also brings fruit that helps us live as witnesses, examples of Jesus in our world. The Spirit doesn't turn us into productive robots, but rather begins the transformation process as you answer this question, am I willing to say yes to that invitation? We often use the phrase led by the Spirit to indicate what? To indicate something we feel like God is asking us to follow or to submit to. That's the invitation. It's an invitation to guide us, to mold us, to shape us. An invitation to clean out our hearts and teach us to love in a way that doesn't make sense to the rest of the world. Jesus knew we would need the Spirit's power in us to do what he calls us to do, to be his witnesses in our world. Now, as you read Acts, you see that the early church did, in fact, do incredible things. They loved well. They experienced community that made people sit up and take notice. You can't tell me that watching after that day, people watching this group changed lives, not just by what they were doing, but the countenance that they must have exuded. They loved well. They experienced community. The phrase led by the Spirit indicates that it's something God does and we submit to. Life transformation isn't something we can power through with our own strength. You can't. Your own effort will not bring you life transformation. I know there are racks and racks of books at Barnes & Noble and other whatever Schuller books that tell you how to change your life. Maybe you can change your health, but you can't transform your life except through the power of the Holy Spirit. I had that hit me between the eyes almost 20 years ago. It was a powerful transformation point in my life that happened the week after our son Clayton died. I was sitting at my desk and the video from one of my favorite musicals, if not my favorite musical, Newsies, popped up on YouTube. The song was called Seize the Day. It's still called Seize the Day, but Seize the Day. It includes these lyrics. Once we've begun, if we stand as one, someday becomes somehow, and a prayer becomes a vow. I cried. Not just crocodile tears. I was being communicated with. I was grieving, but that wasn't the tears were because of the communication that I received. The Holy Spirit told me, today's a new day. Seize it. And that you're not alone. You and your wife are not alone in this journey. That transformative Holy Spirit moment didn't cause me to speak in tongues, but it certainly began transforming me from the inside out. I was becoming more attentive to the needs of others around me, just like we sang in that song, to see something that I didn't see before. I was being transformed by being attentive to people that I'd never paid attention to before, something my old selfish self was not used to doing. I was also convicted on that day that it was my calling to be a comfort for other parents who have lost a child. I began to be able to love people in a way that I just couldn't love before. That's the gift. That's a gift of a life that's transformed with hope and love and forgiveness. The Holy Spirit invites us to that transformation. Each time the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I am reminded of the amazing news that God is near. Because of my desire to transform my life, from that day on, I surrendered what I want. And I ask God to reveal what he desires every day. I can trust him when he answers, even if it's not the answer I want. And a lot of times it's not. Because I know he loves me so much that he wouldn't tell me something that would harm me, ever. God's voice began coming to me more regularly after that experience of receiving the Spirit. I'd be sitting in church, washing dishes, mowing the lawn, when out of nowhere, out of the blue, God would tell me something about myself or about someone else. You need to call this person. You need to sit down and write that person a letter. I'm too selfish to come up with that on my own. Now, how are you answering this invitation? That's my question to you. Invitations are received. How many have got graduation open houses in the mail? Yeah, we've got three already. We're only up to three this year, which, wow, there were years it was out of hand. But they're only really enjoyed when you open them and use them. I can't go back to the old me because the old me doesn't exist anymore. because the Holy Spirit won't let me, even if I could. I can't stuff myself back into a little life that no longer fits. The story of Mary Magdalene, for me, offers valuable lessons for me and for our faith journey. Her experience of liberation demonstrates the transformative power of Jesus Christ. She had her life renewed through Holy Spirit power. And more than anything, I want to convey that to others in the same message that Mary Magdalene gave in the TV series The Chosen. She described her miraculous transformation this way. I was one way, and now I'm completely different. And the thing that happened in between was Jesus. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I tell you what the reason is. She's telling that to Nicodemus, who thought that he was the one that made her change her life transformation. Said, sorry, high priest, just letting you know, it was Jesus. I was one way, and now I'm completely different. Mary's example shows us that everyone has the opportunity to start fresh. God can transform anything. It doesn't matter where you are in life. God can bring transformation out of any situation. Let's journey back to the end of Acts 2 and see the result of the disciples' transformation. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe in the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now that's the kind of community that God himself creates by his Spirit through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think this is, we've talked about verses being prescriptive and descriptive. I think this is both. This shows us, this describes what an effective church is. But it also says, you know, you need to do this. We do break bread every once in a while in communion, but we also do fellowship and breaking bread when we do our Wednesday night dinners. We pray. We encourage prayer throughout the week. So this is the kind of community God himself created. This passage describes a spiritual community supernaturally formed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This decision to get here was not, no committee met to do this. This was the power of the Holy Spirit that formed this. This was, the Spirit's work in forming that first church was visible. Right? It's visible. Look at it. It's right there. Built on unity, built on devotion, the same Spirit that proceeds from the love of God the Father and God the Son came to dwell within men and women on Pentecost, and it also comes to live between you and me. But we really don't see the transformative power of the Holy Spirit as we should. Jesus said this in Luke, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power. Oh. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And then Jesus in Luke says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What if we could see it? I was going to leave it under my shirt, but I'll read it there. What if the Spirit was a literal light that could be seen by everyone? And we could see it on each other. Would you live life differently? Would you treat those that had a light differently too? Would knowing you have it give you a greater confidence in the power you have been given? The Holy Spirit actually envelops us. This isn't some academic exercise that sounds good in church but has no application in real life. Oh no. It's the one thing that we as believers need above and beyond everything else, which is why Jesus told his disciples to do what? To wait for it. Look at Peter. He denied Jesus. He questioned Jesus. He acted impulsively. When you see him after Pentecost, what do you see? You certainly see a bold Peter. He's still bold, but it's different. He has different boldness. He has different knowledge. You see something more. It's unexplainable. It's phenomenal. What caused that life transformation? The Holy Spirit came upon him and he was clothed with power. What if we lived like that was true for us? That we are clothed in the Spirit's power. Jesus told them that they would be clothed with power from on high. In Acts, we read that they were filled with the Spirit. There are two; those are two different ways of describing the same event. The power and boldness they had seen in Jesus was now in each of them. And clothed with power from above, the promised Holy Spirit, they were able to turn the world upside down. Why does this matter? Because if we are to be witnesses for Jesus and go into our own Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, we're going to need the power and the Spirit to do it. Honestly, if you can grasp that God is for you, if there's nothing else you get out of today than knowing that, God is for you. God is filling you. God is loving you. You're going to be excited about any change you're being called to, no matter how scary it is. The Holy Spirit is always at work in, on, and around me. My encouragement for each of us today is to consider the role the Holy Spirit can make in that decision-making process. Someday I'll fill you in as the call into my ministry, into full-time ministry. That was not something I sought. It was something I was called to, and it was audible, and it was real. And if we want people to live with integrity and wisdom and conviction, we must accept the invitation to be guided by the power of that Holy Spirit. Just say the words, power of the Holy Spirit, and many people think of miraculous demonstrations and intense emotions. That's true. That's true. But most of the time, the Holy Spirit's power is released in your life in quiet, unassuming ways that you aren't even aware of are real, or you don't feel them. My Holy Spirit encounters have all come quietly, with little fanfare. I accepted Jesus as my Lord as a teen. The Holy Spirit came into my life, but the course of my life was drastically altered only when I answered the question, do you want to go? The Holy Spirit may come upon you in dramatic fashion, as in the second chapter of Acts. It may come upon you quietly, in a quiet fashion, like it did for me and others. But the promise is that when we come to faith in Jesus as Lord, we'll be clothed with power from on high. When we submit to following the Spirit, just like Jesus' first followers did, we're going to be able to accomplish whatever God calls us to do. If you completely grasp that God is for you, you'll be excited about any change that's going to happen. The key to that transformation is submission, daily, sometimes moment by moment, conscious, explicit submission to God, to the control of the Holy Spirit. The state of submission to God is made possible ultimately by the Spirit. What about you? As a believer in Jesus Christ, who has the Holy Spirit within you, where are you being led? Where are you being asked to go? To what relationship? To what ministry? To what conversation even with somebody else? The Holy Spirit is and will continue to invite you to life transformation. The Holy Spirit renews us. The Holy Spirit allows us to walk in the newness of life each day. Because of what? Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The secret to seeing the life-transforming power of God in our lives is staying connected to the life-transformer, Jesus Christ. It's that simple. That's our holy hope for transformation. There's no method, no program, no iPhone app that we can transform you. Just the Holy Spirit's power flowing through us every single day, that's all. Just the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you every day. I've always likened it to this. For Christians, I think being engaging intentionally in following the Spirit's call, being led, being pulled, being followed, is if any of you have ever sailed, it's like raising your sails. If you desire to be led by the Holy Spirit in your life, your workplace, your ministry, your family, your relationships, I encourage you to raise your sail. Be pulled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be receptive to the power of the Holy Spirit and be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Dear Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of your Son and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We revel in the mystery of the Trinity. You are so beyond our grasp of, of, of realization, but we do know the reality of the Holy Spirit that lives within us to change our lives, because you love us so much, but you don't want us to stay the same. You want us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, every day. And Lord, everybody within the sound of my voice, I pray that that is true. Have them submit to you today, even moment by moment, that they will be attentive to your desire for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.